The administrative judge here in the county directs me to select a panel of usually 75 people to appear on a certain date and time at the Anderson County Courthouse. And from these people, he takes qualifications and exemptions on the day that they appear. Then he, these first 12 people that are qualified and have not been exempted are selected as the grand jurors, and there are two people that are selected, the next two people actually, so the first 14, the last two people are selected as alternate grand jurors. It used to be done by commissioners. The judge would select 5 people from the county. They would be notified by the sheriff's office to appear at a certain date and time. They were given tablets to write at least 5 people, their names and addresses on this list. This list was given to me. I would, and then when the judge ordered it, I would open the list, create jury letters back then. These were sent to the sheriff, and the sheriff actually did the summoning.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to the second edition of the Courthouse Beat. I'm Liz Lauterbach.
And I'm Josh Atwood.
Thanks for joining us today. We just heard from Anderson County District Clerk Janice Staples giving us a little preliminary info session on grand jury.
And if you don't know what a grand jury is, it's actually a body of 12 members from the community who are brought together to determine cause for criminal prosecution. So in our previous podcast, we mentioned how there are subtle differences from county to county in the jury selection process. The same thing kind of holds true with the grand jury process. If you look at a majority of the counties in Texas, you'll probably see that they use a commissioner process like Ms. Staples was mentioning earlier. But Anderson County uses the jury will process like we use for the Pettit jury. You can expect to see these differences from county to county, and we just wanted to mention or to talk about why that difference is used here in Anderson County. And I think it's very interesting that we use that because, especially when you take into account the size of Anderson County, it kind of gives us a better cross-section, it seems, of the people who actually live here.
Yeah, I mean, it is such a small place that if you have commissioners appointed to call grand jurors or potential grand jurors, you would see that you would be coming up with the same people over and over again, you know, with this, who you know, and circles of people in a small area. I could see where it would be problematic, you know, not only because it's not a representative cross-section, but you know, those people probably get a little burnt out being summoned over and over.
Yeah, when you have commissioners picking these people, they probably all have the same, they probably know a lot of the same people, so they're picking from kind of the same group of people each time, and then those people get drawn, and then they're serving on grand jury all the time, which, first of all, like we just mentioned, it's probably not convenient for them. But at the same time, it doesn't really serve the legal process well because you have the same people sitting on grand jury all the time, and that's not really what they designed grand jury for, to have these same people over and over again. So the will process in Anderson County, at least, I can see how it serves a better function than using the commissioners.
Right. I mean, I guess the only thing that confuses me a little bit is how they call less people for a grand jury.
Yeah, you would think that with the amount of importance that's placed on the grand jury that they would actually call more people to show up than they would for a Pettit jury.
Right. And, you know, they're hoping to get a better cross-section of the community, have different ages and sexes and races represented. But, you know, you gamble that way too because you're choosing the first 12 people who aren't either exempt or disqualified.
So. Yeah, and you never really know who the first 12 are that are going to be seated. Maybe they're all, like white males or something, and that's not really a representative cross sample of Anderson County, so.
Yeah, but apparently it's working better.
Yeah, in our interview with Janice Staples, she actually said that, if this process wasn't serving the county well, that they would actually change it to something that would. So I feel confident that they're doing what needs to be done here in Anderson County, at least.
I agree. So there's, other differences between grand jury and petit jury. Obviously, that the grand jury is not deciding guilt or innocence. They're just deciding whether or not a case should move forward. But also, you don't need all 12 jurors to be in agreement. I believe it's just 9 jurors to reach a quorum to say, yes, we're indicting this person, now move forward to it for a trial.
Yeah, I think that, like you mentioned just a second ago, like I think that really has a lot to do with that they're not like looking to determine guilt or innocence and to move a case on. Maybe you just need to have enough to establish that there's reasonable enough evidence to, maybe think that a crime maybe has been committed, instead of determining, yes, definitely this happened. In that case, maybe you don't need to have every member of the grand jury feeling the same way about it.
Yeah, just at least a majority.
Yeah.
And then you have, and then they call that a true build.
Mm-hmm.
And if the grand jury decides, no, we don't think there's probable cause, and it's no build, and
kind of just stops there.
Yeah, case is dismissed. However, if prosecution feels that it's really important that it be heard by the grand jury again, I believe they can present the case again.
Yeah, and I think that really interesting to me, because it kind of shows me the importance of the grand jury. Like, it's such a huge thing that a case can come in at this point, and these people who are just people, regular people in the community, can determine if a case just stops here at this point, or if it goes on and from there. I mean, it's like everything hinges on the grand jury, I guess, in a way.
It's true. I think it's interesting too. I'm just gonna throw this out there: the whole part where the worst crime you commit, that it's harder to be prosecuted. There's more hoops to go through, and I would assume that's because the consequences can be so much greater, and you would hate to put an innocent person in jail, and so that's another reason why the grand jury is so important.
Yeah, it serves as like a check on the legal process.
Right.
It seems like they really want to make sure that people, or everyone, is treated in a way that is fair, I guess, and everyone has the same like legal rights to be able to determine if they're guilty or innocent, and the grand jury, as a check, serves as preserving that for people.
So yeah, the grand jury is a pretty big deal, and we actually never even been able to witness it.
Yeah, that there's so much secrecy involved in the grand jury. I mean, we hear about, cases coming in and, being true build or no build, but we're not actually able to participate in that. Like, no one really can come out and say what exactly happened in the grand jury room while they're presenting these cases. It's kind of interesting.
Right.
Because there's so much secrecy involved in the grand jury, we actually wanted to get someone who had or has participated in this process to talk with us, so we can, get a little more information about what goes on in the room when they're having these cases presented. So we interviewed one of the assistant district attorneys here in Anderson County, Scott Holden, and we want to play our interview with him so that you can maybe get a little more information about what goes on, because like we were saying, it's a huge thing, and if you actually do get the opportunity to participate in grand jury, then it's something you might want to really consider doing, because it's very, very interesting, and it's very rare that you... I actually don't know anyone who has participated in grand juries.
I don't either. I mean, I feel a little bad that we've got, a window into the grand jury from the side of the prosecution. But yeah, neither one of us know anybody that's actually sat on the grand jury. And
so it might be something you really want to consider doing just to find out what goes on.
We're here with Anderson County Assistant District Attorney Scott Holden. Mr. Holden, how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm great. Thanks for agreeing to talk to us this morning about the process of grand jury.
Yes, ma'am.
So what is the function of the grand jury?
The grand jury's function is to review any cases that we submit to them that we may have a criminal element to them. They are to listen to the evidence and decide whether or not we have enough probable cause evidence to say a crime has been possibly committed and should go on to trial and indictment. There are kind of a check and balance on law enforcement and the district attorney's office.
You feel like this system works?
Very much so. There's a common misconception that a district attorney can get a ham sandwich indicted, that grand juries are just a rubber stamp that's on every case that we present to them. I've walked into many a grand jury having to explain a case that I really felt should be indicted, and at the end of the day they said no, and I didn't have a case anymore. So they're a very important function, I believe.
So how does it feel to get it up in front of a grand jury?
It's not really that much for me as a prosecutor. I mean, I get in front of a jury all the time in trial and talk to them. The difference between a grand jury and a jury trial is the members of the grand jury can sit and ask questions. And it actually becomes a very invaluable resource as a trial attorney when I'm developing a case, trying to figure out how I want to present it. In a court setting, when I'm doing questions and answers with witnesses, I never know what's going through the juror's mind.
Right.
In a grand jury process, I can still present my case just like I would at trial, but the grand jurors get to ask questions, and I can see the strengths and weaknesses in my case from what a lay person would look at it, someone who isn't as familiar with the law as an attorney. Problem with a lot of attorneys, and I'm as guilty of this as everyone else, is you get very tunnel vision. You sit and look at cases, and you look at what the legal definition is, and I might see a legal case, but not know exactly how to present it in such a way that anyone else would go, yeah, that's a crime, as opposed to that's a mistake or you're not seeing this correctly or what's the problem.
So it sounds like it's an opportunity for you to almost practice.
For a lot of cases. Now, the majority of cases that we present to a grand jury are kind of, you know, your run-of-the-mill drug case. We explain to the grand jurors, you know, there was a traffic stop, law enforcement is talking to the person. For whatever reason, they search the car. Always it's a legal reason. We, of course, if it's an illegal search, we usually kick it ourselves. And drugs are found, and there's no real question in that. When I get to a more complicated case, such as a sexual assault case, where my evidence is really going to rely on the victim's credibility, how the case went off, and I might want to present the witness and my victims and have them testify before the grand jury, I do get a dry run at the case. The benefits are I get to see what the jurors' questions are already and can build my case to address those questions when I get to trial. And the witnesses themselves get a dry run of what it's going to be like in a jury trial without the problem of a defense attorney attacking them throughout.
So there's no defense attorney?
When a case is presented before the grand jury, the only people that are present are whatever witnesses we wish and the district attorney's office themselves. The defense attorney doesn't get to go in and present their case as well.
And why is that?
The reason why really is the grand jury process is not to determine whether a person is innocent or guilty, but whether or not there's enough evidence to say a crime may have been committed. There's probable cause to believe a crime should be committed, and it's for the jury process itself and a trial for a judge to really determine guilt or innocence. So that's why a defense attorney is not necessarily part of the process.
Or anyone else for that matter. I mean, besides witnesses and prosecution.
But witnesses, prosecution, law enforcement witnesses. Sometimes the defendants themselves are brought before the grand jury. They have a right to be heard by the grand jury themselves. Their counsel is not allowed to be in the grand jury room with them, but they're allowed to have an attorney just outside, and if they want to take a break to go consult with their attorney and come back in to answer questions, they can. Depending on the case, sometimes it's we want the defendant to come and testify. If it's a case that we sit and have heard the facts, we've looked at the facts, it may not be a crime, particularly if we think the defendant has say it was a murder case, and we felt the defendant had a very good self-defense claim. We don't feel it's our responsibility or it's our job as a prosecutor to say, oh, well, this isn't a crime. That's something for the community and for the grand jury to do. So we'll present our case. We'll have the defendant come in, present what happened, talk about it, send it to the grand jury and say, is this a murder or is this self-defense? The grand jury, if the grand jury says it's a murder case, we go forward with the trial. If they say it's self-defense, we're done. No more crime.
So do you ever get feedback from jury members?
Absolutely. A lot of times we'll present a case, particularly if it's one we're having questions of ourselves or we're trying to, I don't know how to describe it. There are lots of times we'll be involved in a case that needs further investigation. And the grand jury really is an investigative body. They can investigate anything they want. We can start the case with them, start investigating the case, stop, sit it out, and say, what do you feel there needs to be further investigation? And they will say yes, pass the case, and tell us what more they feel we need to get before they can make a decision whether there should be an indictment or there should not be an indictment. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get feedback on the actual experience that they're having, like whether or not they enjoyed it or not or something like that?
Quite often, yeah. A lot of times at the end of the grand jury, after someone's been on grand jury, which can depending on which grand jury cycle you're on, it could be upwards of 3 to 4 months or longer. They give a lot of feedback. Usually it's very positive. They like to know, they see that we're taking a very definite interest in our jobs, that we don't take it lightly. We understand that it's a lot of power as a prosecutor to bring a case against someone and to bring a case before a grand jury. We have walked in with evidence saying, this is the evidence we presented. We don't feel there's a crime. They like that. They like the fact that we take responsibility for what we're doing. A lot of them also get to feel that they get to give back to their community, that they're part of the law enforcement process to protect their community. A bigger problem I see for a lot of them, though, is sometimes they get a slightly jaded view. Mm-hmm. They come in, you think their community is always roses and there's nothing wrong, and they come in for a few months and they find out, well, there is a drug problem. There are crimes. There are people. We do have rapes. We do have very serious issues of a big crime. But as I tell every grand juror when they leave that has those feelings, is the community hasn't changed from what you saw before. If you've sat in our grand jury, you'll sometimes hear the same names come up over and over again. You're only seeing a very, very narrow view of your society. 99% of the people you run into at Walmart and the grocery store find wonderful people. It's just when you're sitting on a grand jury, you're looking at the worst side of society.
For right. And then that experience is like saturated with those few individuals.
That's why we explain to them, if you listen to us for a while, we get a rather gallows humor as prosecutors. And by the end of the process, they go, okay, now we understand why you're like that. It's you just see the same thing day in and day out.
Okay, well, is there anything else you'd like to add for the public to know about?
About the grand jury? Well, if you get to be a grand juror or get called a grand jury, it does take a significant portion of time. I mean, they meet once every 2 weeks for a day. It usually can take about all day, a little bit longer. And yes, you do, as I just said, you get to see kind of the darker elements of F. Anderson County. But as I said, it's very rewarding to most of the people I've met that they get to take a part of the process, that they get to give it back a little bit to their community and decide how to make it safer. And I look forward to working with anyone who comes.